Good morning.
Good morning.
Father God, we just thank you for this day, Lord Jesus. Father, we ask that you just bless this time, Lord God, that you bless, Lord God, just the saints that are out, Lord God. Father God, we ask that you speak through me, Lord Jesus, as I bring forth the message that you have for us today, Lord God. Help us to walk out your word, Lord Jesus. Help us to be your hands and feet, Lord God. Father, we just thank you for the opportunity to come and worship you, Jesus. And we ask that you just be with us in your name, Father. Amen. I will be in John 19, verse 1 through 15. My title is Who Do We Follow? Who do we follow? Verses 1 through 19, as I get ready to read, talks a lot about what Pilate is doing. He's got some things going on in this verse. And I will begin. Verse 1, chapter 19. Then Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged. The soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head. They clothed him in purple robe and went up to him again and again, saying, "Hail, King of Jews." They slapped him in the face. Once more, Pilate came out and said to the Jews gathered there, "Look, I am bringing him out to you. Let you know that I find no basis for the charge against him." When Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, Pilate said to them, "Here is the man." As soon as the chief priest and the officials saw him, they shouted, "Crucify, crucify." But Pilate answered, "You take him and crucify him. As for me, I find no basis for the charge against him." The Jewish leaders insist, "We have a law, and according to that law, he must die because he claims to be the Son of God." When Pilate heard this, he was even more afraid, and he went back inside the palace. "Where do you come from?" he asked Jesus, but Jesus gave him no answer. "Do you refuse to speak to me?" Pilate said. "Don't you realize I have the power to either free you or to crucify you?" Jesus answered, "You would have no power over me if it were not given to you from above. Therefore, the one who handed me over to you is guilty of a greater sin." From then on, Pilate tried to set Jesus free. But the Jewish leaders kept shouting, "If you let this man go, you are no friend of Caesar. Anyone who claims to be a king opposes Caesar." When Pilate heard this, he brought Jesus out, sat down on the judge's seat at a place called Stone Pavement. It was the day of preparation of Passover. It was about noon. "Here is your king," Pilate said to the Jews. But they shouted, "Take him away! Take him away! Crucify him!" "Shall I crucify your king?" Pilate asked. "We have no king but Caesar," the chief priest answered. My first point is, do not follow the crowd. Pilate finds Jesus not guilty. He doesn't find a basis for the charges. He says three times, "I cannot find him guilty of the crime that's been presented." But even though he said it over and over again, the crowd is yelling, "Guilty, guilty." They wanted a verdict of guilty, a punishment of death. Not once, Not twice, but three times, Pilate said, I have not found him guilty. Jesus had no sin. He did not commit a sin. He did not commit a crime, but he posed a threat to the lifestyle of the Jewish leaders. So they needed to get rid of him, or at least that's what they thought they were doing. Sometimes in our life, as we walk with Jesus, as we live this Christian life, the world will be against us. The people will try to make us look bad. They will discredit us because we pose a threat to how they live. Not how we live, but how they live. Jesus had done no wrong, and Pilate couldn't find anything for the crime of punishment. He couldn't find a reason to put him to death. But Jesus still went to the cross. Point two, do not try to blend in to blend in or to find a common ground. In the first point, we talked about how Pilate had said three times that he could not find a reason to put Jesus to death. He said, I find no sin in him. I find no crime against him. I find nothing that gives him basis where he should die. And even though he said that three times, the Jewish leaders and the crowd kept yelling to crucify, to take him away, to crucify him. So Pilate decides he's going to try to appease them. So he has Jesus flogged. They have him beat and beat. The soldiers mock him. They put a crown of thorns on his head and they smash it down. They wrap him in a purple robe. They slap his face. They mock him. They yell, King of Jews. They do all these things in hope that this is going to appease the crowd. It says in verse one that Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged. The soldiers twisted the crown of thorns and put it on his head. They slapped his face in verse three. But once again, when he comes out and he says, I find no basis, they still yell. Crucify him. So even though he tried to appease them, he tried to come to them and give them something to maybe give them a chance that he didn't need to crucify Jesus, the man who he found nothing to crucify him for. He didn't find a crime that was worth crucifying him, but the Jewish leaders in the crowd still shouted to crucify him. Pilate thought that when he brought him out and that he was bruised and that he was bleeding and he looked bad. And Pilate thought, this should be fine. They should be okay with this. But they weren't. It enraged them even more. And they shouted even more to crucify him. Crucify him. In our life, as we walk with Jesus, there are times when we seek to not be the odd person out, to not be the person that's going against the tide of the world. So we stay quiet. We try to blend in. We try to look like the crowd. We laugh at things that maybe we shouldn't laugh at, things that are not actually really funny. But yet, deep down inside of us, we know these things are not right, but we don't want to be the person that is different. We try to blend in with the crowd instead of standing out with the crowd. But that's not what God called us to do. God has not called us to blend in. God has not called us to look like the crowd. He has called us to be different, to stand out. To not try to make people to not try to look like the rest of the world. He's called us to be different. Point three. Do not give in to the crowd. Do not give in to the crowd. That may be hard. Pilate gave in. He gave in. That last verse, 15, it says, but they shouted, take him away, take him away, crucify him. And he says, shall I crucify your king? They said, we have no king but Caesar. We know that the end story, we know what happens. Pilate couldn't figure out what to do, but he realized that he was kind of stuck. And the reason why he was stuck wasn't because he was trying to follow what was right. When they talked about Caesar, that got his attention. When they talked about Caesar, that got his attention. He didn't believe that Jesus was guilty of anything accused of him, but he did not want the trouble that came with releasing him. The Jewish leaders pulled out a wild card by speaking out Caesar's name. This was a political move. By saying that you are no friend of Caesar implies that he was not for Caesar. And Pilate could not afford to have that accusation against him. This was really no longer about this Jewish man. This was more about his reputation. Caesar was worried about himself, worried about what he looked like to the leaders around him. He said three times, I find no guilt. I find no guilt. But when it came down to what it was going to look like for him and to the people around him, to his leaders, to the people that he wanted to look good in front of, he cowered. He gave in. Think about that. He gave in. And not that we know that we know that this was the path that Jesus was supposed to take. So he needed to give in. He needed to walk this path. But the reason why he did it was wrong. It wasn't that this needed to happen. We know that this needed to happen because Jesus needed to die for our sins. But the reason why Pilate did this wasn't because of him trying to follow God. It was because of himself. He did not want to look bad. He did not want to be against Caesar. Sometimes as Christians, we give in, we stay quiet because we don't want to be the person to stand out. We don't want to be called different. But that is exactly what Jesus has called us to be, different. He's called us to stand out. He's called us to be different. In Romans 12, 2, it says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by renewing your mind so that you may prove that the will of God, what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. He's called us to be different. Proverbs 4:14 says, do not enter the path of the wicked and do not proceed in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Do not pass by it. Turn away from it. Pass on. So, as we're looking at the crowd and we are thinking about the things that we need to do, if the crowd is going the wrong direction, if the crowd is the path of wicked, we are not supposed to walk with them. We are supposed to pass by the evilness. We're not supposed to join in on those conversations that are not uplifting to God. We are not supposed to join in behaviors that are against what God has called us, even if We're the only person standing on the outside. Even if people might say, oh, look at that person over there. Oh, they think they're too good. I remember I started going back to church and I stopped partying and I stopped going out and I stopped drinking. And when I would see my friends, they'd ask, oh, do you want to go hang out and go to the club? And I'd say, no. They go, oh, you think you're too good for us now. And it wasn't that I thought I was too good. I just knew what God has called me to do was different. It wasn't that I thought I was better than them. I knew I wasn't better than them. I just knew what God had called me to do. And so I had to stand out. I had to be different. I had to listen to them say that I thought I was too good, that I thought I was better than them. Oh, she's in church now. She thinks she's good now. I didn't think I was good. I knew that I wasn't. I knew that I needed Jesus to save me, and I knew that I needed him every day. Yeah. So I needed to change my lifestyles. It wasn't because of what I thought about myself, it's what I knew that God wanted from me that I needed to change. And so sometimes, yes, we got to stand on the outside. Sometimes, yes, we got to stand by ourselves. Sometimes, yes, we got to do something different. But it's okay because God has called us to be different. Don't follow the crowd. It's okay to be outside of the crowd because that's where God has called us
Yes.
so that we can show the world the things that He wants us to do. I think about how many times we have the opportunity to stand out and we get a little afraid. And I understand it. I understand when we get a little afraid to stand out. We need to seek God at that point. We need to draw our attention to Him. We need to seek Him. We need to pray and ask Him to help us so that we stay on the right path, so that we go the right direction, so that we do the right things. God has a plan for us. God had a plan for Jesus. Caesar didn't know that. The Jewish leaders didn't know that. I'm even going to say that the di disciples didn't really understand it. Even though Jesus tried to tell them, they didn't quite understand it. But thank God that God had a plan.
Amen.
God had a plan. My big idea, God has a plan. God has a plan. Pilate didn't know it. He gave in to his fears of his reputation, the status with the leaders above him, but God had a plan. God's plan was that Jesus was going to die. He was going to die on the cross for our sins. Pilate didn't want to be different. He didn't want to be against the leaders. And sometimes we don't want to be against our friends. Sometimes we don't want to be against the world. But God has a plan. He's called us to be different from the crowd, to not blend in, to not try to be a part of a crowd, but to stand out. God does not want us to worry about our earthly reputation, our status here on earth. He doesn't want us to focus on those things. God's plan has a heavenly outcome. He wants us to focus on our eternal life,
Yes.
the eternal life, which brings us to heaven. He wants us to focus on bringing souls to Him, to not just here on earth, but to heaven. Eternal life is our outcome. This is temporary. Eternal is forever. I asked you, are you blending in with the crowd? Are you blending in with the crowd? Or are you willing to go against the crowd? Are you willing to go against the crowd to follow God's plan? God has a plan for you. He created you with a purpose and a plan. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, to not harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." God knitted us all in our mother's wombs. He knew the day that he started knitting us what our plan was going to be. He knew what he wanted us to do. So I asked you, will you follow God or will you follow the crowd? Father God, we thank you for this day, Lord Jesus. Father, we ask that you bless us, Lord God. Help us, Lord Jesus, to follow you, Lord God. Help us to focus on your plan, Lord God. And if we get distracted, Lord God, draw us back to you, Lord God. Father God, help us to see, Lord Jesus, the plan that you have for our lives, Lord God. The plans that you have for those around us, Lord God, that we may be a part of the plan to bring people to your kingdom, Lord Jesus. We thank you and we praise you in your name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.